Hey guys, good morning to you. It's a great day. You guys said two words during that baby formula discussion that made my day. Jen Psaki. Her last day was Friday. She's done lecturing the country. We don't have to listen to her anymore. Have a great day.
I mean, that's true, but it's not like she's not going to be replaced by somebody just as bad. If not worse.
No, Jean Perry was the one, right? I can't remember her first name, the one that's replacing Psaki at this point in time. But
we've got a lot of plenty of finger wagging at the nation to be coming, even with Jen Psaki not in there. Welcome back, hour three, third and final hour of your Monday edition of Justice and Drew. I'm Drew. That's John. We're very excited to be joined in studio by a face we haven't seen in far too long. Our good friend Howard Root. Good morning.
Hold on.
Come on, temp.
Try that again. Good morning, Howard.
Good morning. Ah, there we are. Well, you're going to fire him soon, so it doesn't matter. Right?
From Alpha News, Dr. Scott Jensen. We'll be talking to him at 8:35 this morning. Emerged victorious Saturday over the crowded field of candidates seeking the Minnesota GOP endorsement for governor. But holy cow, it's at least watching from afar, you know, and watching the clips and the commentary from numerous candidates, it seemed like a rather exciting event, to say the least.
Well, you know, from up close, when I was there, it was an exciting event. It was exciting. And there were three, like, just aha moments. And we don't get that in politics very often, where someone says something unique and different. But when Lacey Johnson gets up there, Lacey was, he ran in the Minneapolis district for Congress last time, black man. And he gets up there, he's Mike Murphy's lieutenant governor candidate, and says, you people in the audience, you delegates, you're old, white, and losers. If you don't elect Mike Murphy, we're not going to win. It's like, that's an interesting persuasive tactic. Not effective, but it is interesting.
Yeah, I saw Rob Dorr had memed that. And, you know, it's a bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see if it plays out. And it turns out it didn't play out very well at all.
No, it didn't. That was the precipice for him going from first place to third place in two ballots. So,
thank you. Oh, this is the first movie reference of the morning.
I didn't make a Friends reference earlier.
That doesn't count.
I know. That's pretty late in the show.
Yeah, and Drew was Drew that did it, too. Shocking.
It's going to be hard to see, Cotton.
Anyway, aha moment number two.
Aha moment number two was when Neil Shah got up there. And going in, if you look at it, there was really three factions in the delegates. There was the establishment, which was the political establishment, which would be Senator Paul Gazelka, Michelle Benson, who dropped out before there, but she had some delegates there. And then the donor establishment, which was Qualls. And those I put together as establishment Republicans. There was the Tea Party faction, which was Neil Shah and Mike Murphy. That's the Action for Liberty and the Tea Party guys. They were coming in. And then I call it the populist movement. That was Scott Jensen's. Because there was a lot of people who were not in politics before Scott got in, and they were there for the first time. And they weren't really normal political convention goers. And so I thought it was roughly one-third, one-third, one-third. Well, what happens is when one of the candidates drops, there's a chance for, you know, someone to jump up. And when Neil Shah was getting out or was going to get out, he threw his support to Mike Murphy, the Tea Party to Tea Party. And there was a chance that he would throw his support to Scott Jensen, as more populist, but he went with the more Tea Party area. And when he got up there, I thought he would do just the normal thing because Neil Shah is a great guy and I've known him for quite a while. But instead, he got up there and called Scott Jensen a gun grabber. And then said something about Kendall Qualls as well to try to incite everyone to go to Mike Murphy. And that one did work because for one ballot, Mike Murphy was in the lead.
I saw that. Yep.
He jumped up and we're going, wow. And then we were at basically 33, 32, 31 for a while. And then you're saying this is going to be a locked convention. If you can't drop someone or get anyone to 60%, you're over. But then those votes started to leak away. So that was the second aha moment. And the third, the biggest one, was when Mike Murphy started dropping down and realized, well, he was kicked off. He went below 20%. And on that ballot, below 20% eliminated you from consideration. He had a choice to endorse. And he went to Qualls and he went to Jensen trying to figure out what to do, maybe what he could get out of it. I don't know. It wasn't part of that at all. But he got up on stage and said that Qualls had offered him the lieutenant governor position. But then when they talked about the role, Qualls backed off, so he was a two-faced liar, basically telling everyone in the convention that, you know, and everyone's going, ah, this doesn't happen. And it did happen. And then he endorsed Scott Jensen. And then the next ballot, Scott Jensen got up to 59%, but then Kendall Qualls comes up, and he is outraged. This is a man who takes his integrity seriously. He says, "This, you've besmirched my reputation. Show me the text where you were offered it." And then Mike Murphy texts out something, which is a little ambiguous. It certainly wasn't an offer, but there was discussions that was pulled away, you know, and the vote for Scott Jensen goes from 59 down to 56. And now we're thinking we've got 45 minutes left to endorse. We're going the wrong way to get there. We might not have an endorsed candidate, which, as you remember, on Friday was my number one prediction. But then all the delegates have been preached to the whole time that we need an endorsed candidate in order to win. So in the end, they jumped up to 65%. Scott got the endorsement on the ninth ballot, and we left with, you know, 5 minutes to spare before the time ran out.
Were you surprised? I mean, I was following this along on Twitter, you know, throughout the day, and as the day went on, I was becoming more and more convinced that we were going to get out of there with a no endorsement.
Yeah, I was surprised at three things. I mean, the first, I thought Scott Jensen would go in with 35% on the first ballot. He only had 26%. And then Mike Murphy had 18% on the first ballot. I thought he'd have closer to 10. And Neil Shaw had 15%. So those two Tea Party guys, whoever was in the lead was going to get the other guy's votes. You add those two together, you're at 33%. That's pretty close to blocking the convention. So, you know, first I was surprised by that. Then I was surprised that Qualls went up so high a little bit. I knew he'd go up because they park votes with other candidates to make it look like momentum's in their favor in later ballots. That was going up. But then at the end, I was just stunned at how these endorsements played out in the comments from the podium about the other candidates.
Yeah.
And then at the end, I thought, well, this is what everyone always says. You don't spend 3 days in Rochester and spend almost $1,000 in hotel and transportation and registration to do nothing. Republicans want to get the job done. And get the job done means we need an endorsed candidate. And there was about 12% of the delegates that just swayed over at the very end.
I was tweeting with Drew over the weekend. I got to retweet this this picture here. But we listened to this Rewatchables podcast where they cover, you know, movies, and they have a bunch of categories that are with these, right? So they have like most rewatchable moment, what's aged the worst. They have overacting category as well. So I made my own little list here. I'll tell you one thing that I thought aged the worst out of this convention, and I'm surprised it didn't get more hay, and maybe I shouldn't be bringing it up now. But when Neil Shaw got up there talking about how we're going to punch the DFL in the mouth and we're going to continue to punch the DFL in the mouth, I was surprised at the language being used by Neil Shaw at the time.
Yeah, you know, this is kind of a tradition amongst Minnesota Republicans. We fight really hard against each other, and then we soften down when it's a Democrat. And Jeff Johnson did this. I mean, he went after Pawlenty last time, and he did a really good job against Pawlenty. But then, I think, in my opinion, against Walls, he was AWOL, just didn't have the attack. This one was more aggressive. I haven't been to many of these conventions, so maybe there's a parallel from a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there has been a lot of drama at these before, but this was aggressive. And for a party that says we all got to get together and stand behind the endorsed candidate, it was a lot of mudslinging that's going to have to be forgotten or, you know, put aside if they really are going to get behind Scott Jensen.
Well, what kind of impact do you think this is overall going to have moving forward? Like, I know Rob Dorr had tweeted at me earlier because I kind of asked this question, you know, based off of the number of individuals that go to the convention, you know, versus the number of voters that we have. You know, he got into the endorsement and how the GOP gets behind the endorsement. But I'm just wondering overall, Howard Root, how big of an impact do you think that the convention and what took place there will have on the elections moving forward?
So my opinion, almost zero. It's the candidate's race to run. The candidate has to instill the momentum. I mean, Matt Burke was a huge plus for Scott Jensen when he made Matt Burke the lieutenant governor. And those two going around can really turn out the vote. What happens at the state fair will matter more than what happened at the convention. We had 3,000 people, and it was not a representative sample. I mean, who in their right mind, maybe I'm not in my right mind, who beyond me wants to spend 3 days sitting in Rochester listening to political attacks?
And not to diminish, you know, those people are important, and you got to have those people involved in the process, and you don't have a healthy political party without people like that that are willing to spend the time and do those types of things. So I don't want it to sound like, you know, those people are irrelevant and diminishing, but they are not not representative of the electorate as a whole.
Right.
And that's always been true. That is not a commentary on this batch of delegates at this convention. That's always been true. You know, the most hardcore party activists, the people that are really involved in the processes and that care about that type of thing, they are very important, but they are rarely, if ever, representative of the broader electorate that you have to win over. And that's been, I think, a pitfall for Republicans in the time that I've been here and covering this, and why, you know, I simply just don't really care that much about the endorsement process, is because you have to cater to those people, and you have to get their approval to get past this stage of the process. But then what does that do to make you more electable? What does that do to make you better equipped to go out there and convince the general electorate that you're the right person to vote for in November?
But it really doesn't. It really does the opposite. It makes you hard line on your positions, trying to be even more conservative than you may otherwise be to get more of the hard line conservatives at the convention to endorse you.
Yeah.
But the reason they do it is because Minnesota, surprising to me, does not get a lot of money in politics compared to the other states. I mean, Pennsylvania dwarfs us in the amount of money, Florida, like 5 to 10 times. Mm-hmm. And so the money you get from the endorsement process matters. And that's why the endorsement matters on the Republican side. We need to blow it up, in my opinion. Everyone says we need the endorsement. The endorsement has to be strong. Well, why is it only a Minnesota thing? I mean, virtually every other state, the endorsement doesn't matter or doesn't matter anywhere near this much. And it certainly doesn't matter to the Democrats. I mean,
right? They don't care.
They don't care. I mean, Walz, Dayton, they didn't get the endorsement. They won. So
and there was no controversy.
So the problem,
at least I didn't see or hear it. You didn't hear a whole bunch of DFLers. Oh, they didn't respect the endorsement process. Like, that just doesn't happen on the left.
Yeah, say thanks for your opinion. Now fall in line. You know, that's the way it works. And it'd be great, but the way to get rid of the endorsement process would be for the state party to eliminate the endorsement process. And the people who benefit from the endorsement process is the state party.
Yeah.
And you get 3,000 people to spend $100 to go to this convention. I mean, that's material money for the party.
Sure.
When you look at, you have Jim Scholz, Attorney General, Kim Crockett, Secretary of State, Ryan Wilson, State Auditor, all coming out of the convention. Again, I'm going to kind of apply the same questions. You know, how much does that matter for those particular races?
So the those races, the important thing there is a lower ticket race isn't going to help you very much. But it certainly could hurt you. It's like picking a lieutenant governor candidate. You don't want to pick the wrong one, but the right one doesn't matter all that much. It's the lead of the ticket that really matters. And Matt Burke might be the most important, but it's still not going to make Scott Jensen win the election. What you don't want is an unnecessary distraction. In my opinion, Doug Wardlow was an unnecessary distraction. He brings Mike Lindell down there. Now, the one thing that's surprising, Mike Lindell is at the convention, and Doug Wardlow did not bring him on stage. I mean, that's the 3,000 people in the audience. Those are the ones that are going to be enthused by Mike Lindell. So why not bring him on there and try to get the delegates to go there? But after the convention, if your attorney general is a general counsel for MyPillow, I mean, just my opinion, that's not electable in Minnesota. There's a majority of people who say that's not what I want. When you're going against Keith Ellison, you don't want to be the extreme on the other side. You want to be closer to the middle for a lot of people to vote for you to have rational law enforcement in Minnesota. I'll take that now. This is not Wyoming. Let's not go for the most conservative. Let's go for the most conservative electable candidate. And, you know, Tad Jude did a great job of getting out there and getting some votes. And then Jim Scholz went out there and got more than Tad Jude. Then they came together, and then that put him over the top. And then, of course, Doug Wardlow, who said he would abide by the endorsement, said, "Don't throw away your campaign signs. I'm still praying about what to do next."
As of right now, there's no primaries happening at the moment.
Well, there is in the AG, because Dennis Smith said he did not go for the endorsement.
That's right. Okay. But we don't know. But at least in the governor's side, nobody has declared, nobody's said anything one way or the other yet.
Not yet.
Right.
Rich Stanek was not at the endorsement convention, and he's talked about it, but he's got to assess given where the money situation is.
We're talking with Howard Root making his triumphant return to the program after way too long in sunny Florida. We got to take a quick break. Got some people on hold as well. If you want to ask any questions about the convention, you got any commentary about the endorsement process or about Scott Jensen, and we will be talking with the endorsed gubernatorial candidate Scott Jensen coming up at 8:35. The number is 651-989-5855.
30 and FM 103.5. Stream us on iHeartRadio and now find us on OK Google. Play Twin Cities News Talk on iHeartRadio.
Getting Twin Cities News Talk station from iHeartRadio.
Thanks, Google.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Welcome back to your Monday edition of Justice and Drew. Pleased to be joined by our good friend Howard Root.
Good morning, Minnesota.
Now, just so we do full disclosure, yes. You know, we kind of use you because you were at the convention and you're providing some perspective and everything, but you are not an unbiased observer of all of these these happenings.
You would never want to have an undecided person here because they would be the biggest fool or the biggest liar.
And I don't think there are.
There are. They're either lying or they're a fool. But right. No, I support Dr. Scott Jensen and have since the beginning. I mean, the way that came to be, he called me when he got his first letter from the medical licensing board saying, what should I do here?
That's right.
And he called me because I wrote the book Cardiac Arrest. Good plug, shameless there as well. But about
selling books is hard.
Yeah, it is.
Available
it is
on Amazon.
Yeah, I sell at least two a year now. It's not so hard.
You have a book called Cardiac Surgery?
Well, I sold cardiac surgery products, so I can't do it on the table, but if John wants me to, I'll give it a shot.
I don't know, man. You and I had a brief conversation off the air, and I'm over here just freaking out now.
Oh,
so.
Not again.
No, I was out getting coffee. What did I miss?
Okay, so where was I? No, I support this guy. He called me about that, and I told him, you have to set the narrative. If they come after you, he was getting advice to stay quiet, it'll go away. And I said, that's the wrong thing. If they come after you, if you got the podium, if you got the microphone, talk about it. Get it out there, because you have to set the narrative. And he did, and he fought back well. And then I started working with him and talking with him. And I'm not a paid staffer. I'm not even on the campaign, but I do support him.
And I am of the opinion, and this all it is, just an opinion. I am of the opinion, and it's probably not the hottest take of all, but it was those early statements and efforts by Dr. Jensen early on in the pandemic when they were coming after him for his medical license. That's really, in my opinion, what elevated him and set him apart from the rest of the field, and I think attracted a lot of people. You mentioned how there were a lot of people at the convention that had never been there before or hadn't been involved in politics before. I really think it's that, you know, what the mainstream media would call COVID skepticism is what attracted a lot of people to Scott.
Yeah, that's the message, and then it's also the messenger. He's, you know, family doctors have this way of sitting there and looking you in the eye, shaking your hand, talking to you 5 minutes, and you thought you were there for an hour. Mm-hmm. And he is great at that. The state fair, he's wonderful at things I could never do and most candidates can't do. And that's what attracted people. But now we got to translate that into a broader appeal and win.
Well, it's that being authentic. It's that being genuine, you know, and that is something. And I mean, a lot of the candidates do, but, you know, Scott Jensen does it incredibly well for the reasons that you just mentioned, Howard Root. It's the complete opposite of your Kamala Harris out there who's saying work together five times in 30 seconds.
Well, yeah, the standard political line is the most important thing is authenticity. And, and once you can fake that, you've got it made.
True story.
Let's go to the phone, 651-989-5855. Suzanne in Maple Grove, you are at the convention. Good morning.
Hi there. Good morning. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for calling in.
I just want to say I'm a first-timer, and I disagree with what that previous gentleman just said. I'm not ignorant. I wasn't there to support anybody. I went there to learn about the process. I did not go there because of the COVID skepticism. I went there because of what was happening in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
That started it for me, and I'm conservative, but I don't go out there and preach my message or talk to people about you need to be conservative or anything like that. I have friends of all types, and I went there because when everything started happening with George Floyd and all the rioting, my neighbors of all beliefs started texting me, if things go south, if they start coming out to us, if this violence starts coming out to us, can we come to your house? And I knew right then that is going to be a big issue going forward. So I'm a little resentful of what is being said because I'm not ignorant.
Well,
and,
no.
And
Suzanne, let me jump in. Can you? I don't remember the word ignorant being used. Did I miss?
No. I said if someone said they're undecided. You know, like they don't have a preferred candidate,
right?
You know, and you're not ignorant. It's just I don't. Why would that be? You must have gone there, I guess, Suzanne, and not to attack or anything, but you must have gone there and had a preferred candidate when you came in, didn't you?
I did not. I have nobody. I went there to hear. I went to hear the gubernatorial debate first because I was wondering what they had to say for themselves. What do they stand for? What is it that they are going to bring to the table for the constituents? I literally have never been involved in anything. And I honestly went
to... Suzanne, no offense, Suzanne. You are a rare bird. You are a rare bird.
Great rare bird. Great.
I think it's awesome. Like most people don't go into a convention, don't sign up to go to a convention without having some leaning of who they're there to support. So, you know, I'm not questioning you, I'm not doubting you, and I take you completely at face value, but understand, you are kind of a rare bird in that respect.
And I'm going to back up them as well. I completely agree. And it's one of those moments, too, where, you know, Howard, you're great on the air, you know, and we paint as talk show hosts, you paint with a broad brush, and on occasion, you know, there's an outlier to a general statement, and if that's not you, then you weren't that's talking you. About, yeah. Then that's not you, and that certainly wasn't you, apparently, Suzanne. But I'm with Drew. No, that's good on you. But most people aren't like that.
Where did you land as the towards the end of the convention as balloting was underway for the governor? Where did you end up landing after hearing all the speeches and all of that?
I ended up landing with Jensen.
Okay. So you ended up pretty happy with the outcome and everything.
I was shocked. I actually had no idea what went on at a convention, and I was really, really shocked. It felt like a hotbed of a rumor mill. I mean, there was so much going on with the talking and the people and the smear ads that were coming out, and then you had to look who sponsored this ad, and what does that candidate stand for, and why are they doing this? And it was just, it was really shocking to me how much effort went into the forethought of, okay, if we come down, we're going to put this piece of paper out and try to sway people. And it really did go back and forth, based on who was eliminated and who, what party they joined. So I did go back and forth a few times. Mm-hmm. Like, I actually don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, yeah, I think you're in that populist group that we haven't seen in Minnesota Republican Party. It's been the establishment, and it's been the Tea Party. And the Tea Party was a populist group, too, but it's become more kind of focused. And, you know, I hope you come. Will you come back to another convention, or are you one and done?
Oh, I absolutely will, and I'm going to bring my kids and my former mother-in-law with me, too. Fantastic. I was texting them the whole time. You can't believe what's happening here. This is shocking and eye-opening. I was texting my neighbors who also believe like me, who've never been involved, and I'm explaining to them the process, what happened, how it worked, and they're actually becoming more interested in the next convention as well. So I think I bring the moms with me.
Well, we'll make Minnesota Florida then. That's what we're doing.
Great to hear from you, Suzanne. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate the perspective.
We will get into more of your phone calls coming up. Also, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Scott Jensen, who did win the GOP endorsement for governor. Howard Root joins us in studios. We cover the convention from over the weekend. 651-989-5855. And be sure to use the TalkBack feature on the iHeartRadio app to leave us a message, and we'll play those back coming up.
Final segment. Monday edition of Justice and Drew. Welcome back to the program. Got a lot of people on hold at 651-989-5855. We will attempt to get to as many of your calls as we can.
Howard Root joins us in studio, verbally walked in and just flipped our table over.
That's what we do when we get off the plane.
Giving us a convention recap from over the weekend. And I'm with Drew watching, following on Twitter and watching, everything play out. You know, it seemed just like a fascinating exercise in terms of rules that we still follow here in Minnesota. And I echo a lot of what you were saying, Drew, and even you too, Howard Root, just in terms of the process. And it just seems so antiquated at this point in time. Now, again, I know it's important, and I know certainly with Dr. Scott Jensen, who we're going to talk to here in a moment, it's important. But it'll be fascinating to see how much of the convention actually plays out in the elections moving forward.
And joining us now, the freshly minted endorsed GOP gubernatorial candidate, Dr. Scott Jensen. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for giving us some time this morning. I'm sure you're very busy. What was the first thing that you need to get done after you tackled the endorsement? What's priority one for the Scott Jensen campaign?
Well, the first thing I did was spend some serious time in prayer saying, all right, Lord, thank you very much, but there's a lot of work to be done. So I need some help. And so one of the first priorities has got to be, we've got to expand our team. We've got to, you know, we've been running for the endorsement, and we were fortunate and humbled by the endorsement. But now it's time to get ready for 6 months of intense campaigning, trying to paint a picture for Minnesotans that there's a sharp contrast between what a Walz administration has looked like and what a Jensen administration will look like. So we need to build out the team. We need to thank all the activists, all the people that have absolutely come off the sidelines. And this isn't just Republicans. We're talking about a lot of conservative independents, even conservative Democrats. And so we got to buckle up and get ready to go, because this is potentially Minnesota's last best chance to pare off the bloat from our government and say, hey, what's working, what's being done now is just not working.
A lot of drama, obviously, on delegate, you know, on the floor of the convention, between the delegates, between the campaigns, a lot of deal making and things like that going forward. But if you had to sort of pinpoint like one issue, specifically one issue that you feel like resonated the strongest with the attendees at the convention, what would you think it would be based on conversations you had? What do you think pushed you over the top in terms of the other campaigns and the other candidates specifically, and you know, which issue and how you approach it and talk about it?
I think it'd probably be two W's. It would be one, the convention really is hyper-focused on winning. They're getting that. And I think that's a hats off applause to all the people there, including the MNGOP people and Senator Osmick and Representative Peggy Scott. There was this spirit, we need to win. That means we need to endorse. That means we need to unite. We need to get forward and go. So I think winning was a big deal, but I also think that they wanted it to be a we the people candidate. And there was this emerging, evolving thing of who is we the people and who's not. Who's maybe more, if you will, sort of blessed by the political class? Who's more the person who might be the we the people champion? And I think in the end, It was interesting that you had Benson and Gazelka joining up with Qualls, and you had, in a sense, Shaw joining on Murphy, and Murphy ended up joining on Jensen. So I think there was this sense of there's a We the People movement. That's what gotten started for the last 15 months, and I think that emerged throughout it. And I think everybody had a tremendous amount of respect for all the candidates who have been running, that iron does sharpen iron, and that Scott Jensen as a candidate has absolutely been made better by all the competition that's gone on in the last 15 months. I think Senator Julia Coleman was a powerful voice to speak to the convention and talk about why the pro-life movement is so important. I thought that was a key turning point.
We got some breaking news happening this morning. I want to give you an opportunity to comment on it because of your time in the legislature and working on deals and things like that. We are in the last week of the session. Governor Walz, Senate Majority Leader Jeremy Miller, DFL House Speaker Hortman all are announcing details this morning of a deal, end of session deal, spending on education, tax cuts, HHS, public safety, $1.4 billion bonding bill for building projects. You know, as a former senator yourself, I thought I'd give you an opportunity to comment on this breaking news that's happening this morning.
I think what we're seeing this morning is absolutely critical for people to understand. This is what happens when you get divided government. When you have a Democratic House and a Democratic governor, and you've got Majority Leader Jeremy Miller, you know, going one against two, you're going to have to compromise. And I think that the idea of a divided government, this is what you get. I think the Democrats were clear. They wanted to spend it all. It would have been tucked into our budget, and it would have put our effective budget literally at $60 billion. I think the Republicans in the House, you know, gave their oomph, if you will, to stopping the process. But the Senate Republicans really came home on this. They said no. And it ended up, instead of Walz being able to spend it all, it was a $4 billion in tax relief. It was $4 billion in spending, and the spending is going to literacy and education. It's going to HHS in terms of securing nursing homes and senior assisted living centers so that we can take care of our most vulnerable. And it's going to go to infrastructure. It's going to go to public safety, particularly in regards to elevating the work of the police. So it's going in the right directions. But my concerns are that this is not a surplus. This is an overtax, and I wanted it all to go back But I think all the Republicans wanted that, but it wasn't going to happen. We still have $4 billion on the bottom line that in January of 2023, we'll have that so we can say, okay, now let's pare the budget down, because effectively our budget has gone from $52 billion to over $54, near $55 billion. If I'm elected, I want to cut out the bloat. Government is too big, it's too expansive, it's too intrusive, and we need to go into January and say, okay, every line item is going to be analyzed, examined, because we've got to look for a way to somehow cut 10% from that budget.
Minnesota does have one of the few divided governments in the country, and you know there's a solid chance that that could happen going forward if you do win and you are governor over a divided legislature. Now, there's not a lot of appetite for compromise right now on either side. Republicans want nothing to do with where Democrats are on most issues, and vice versa. So it's really tough to find those areas of compromise. But you know, if you are a governor, you do succeed Walz, fingers crossed. How do you anticipate having to work with what could be a divided legislature?
Well, obviously, the game is so different if it's divided. If we've got the trifecta, we can go in, and in the month of January, we should be able to get emergency powers rewritten, and we should get strong Second Amendment support in the Castle Doctrine, constitutional carry, and standard ground, as well as photo ID, and we should also be able to get student choice. But if it's divided, then it's a different game. And what we'll do is we've got to be willing to draw a line in the sand and say, we're not moving from these core convictions. I mean, we cannot have Minnesotans feeling at risk wherever they travel. We have got to elevate the work of the police. Incarceration's got to be a deterrent for felons. We need to make certain the sentencing guidelines are shaped up and not made looser, if you will. We've got to start having more conservative judges. There's plenty we have to do there. But I think it's going to involve being willing to draw a line in the sand and say, no, I'm not moving here. I am not moving. If it takes, you know, immobilizing some aspects of government, shutting down some parts of government in order to hammer it out that we cannot do what we've been doing, because I think the conservatives feel like we've just been giving up too much and that we're really going down the wrong path. This is not sustainable. Minnesota feels like a broken state. People aren't proud to be Minnesotans anymore. There's no Minnesota nice out there. There's Minnesota anger. And this isn't one Minnesota. This is a divided state. And we have people migrating out of the state that we need them here. We need to keep our Minnesotans here. So there's got to be a change in leadership style, and there's got to be a change in attitude. And I think we're seeing this literally rising up of energy and people from all over the state, literally conservatives, liberals, and independents are all doing it. So I'm extremely optimistic.
Well, much of what you said right now kind of aligns with the question that I have for you. Talking with Dr. Scott Jensen, again, won the GOP endorsement for governor over the weekend at the convention in Rochester. But moving forward, you know, there's obviously been a lot of criticism and controversy since you announced your running, you know, mostly coming from the left. I'm curious, in terms of messaging and reaching those voters that may have, you know, may have thrown support, you know, to the left in the past, but perhaps are frustrated about what's taken place over the course of the past few years. How do you reach those voters? How do you reach those voters that are being spoken to in one ear, you know, saying one thing and all the leftist talking points, you know, while you're out there, you know, touting a conservative message? How do you reach them?
It's a good question. I think it's a challenge, to be sure, for any elected official running for office, or I should say any person running for elected office. I would say that you need to go out there and demonstrate that you're not a part of the political class. Regardless of where people are on the spectrum, I think they're concerned about what's happening to our government. Is it working? Is the political class working? And I think Matt Burke and I will be out there. We will be in a highly populated, high-density urban areas talking with people. We will be on the campuses talking to Gen Zs and millennials. We will be elevating and honoring the concerns and the agenda that women across the state of Minnesota have in particular. The Republican Party needs to become a dynamic party where we drive discussions. We talk about the tough issues. We are who we say we are. We're transparent, and we're just regular people who put their socks on one at a time. And if you've watched Matt Burke talk, it's hard not to be taken up by his words, because they're just such plain speaking. And that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to say to Minnesota, this doesn't have to be a we they thing where it's the governed versus the government. The government should try to get out of the way, downsize it, right size it, and economize it. That's what we need to do. And I think that if we can get out there and just hammer and get on the streets and, you know, wear the soles off of our shoes right off, because we're just going to keep hitting the pavement. And Matt Burke is just a tremendous, authentic Minnesotan with character, determination, and he's got a remarkable skill set.
Yeah, that was a fantastic pick on your behalf and a great get for your campaign. Again, congratulations on the endorsement. Where can people learn more about you? If people are so inclined to get involved in your campaign, how would they go about doing so?
Well, even if they're not interested in getting involved, I would really appreciate it if they just do a little research and check into us. So the best way to do it is to go to drscottjensen.com, drscottjensen.com. And we've tried to lay out our issue positions. Now that we have the endorsement, we're going to expand some of those issues, because we also realize that the Republicans need to articulate a plan on what does corporate responsibility look like, what does consumer protection look like, what is the Republican plan for conservation and protecting the environment in which we live. Because we've made it clear, we want miners to mine, and we want farmers to farm, and we want teachers to teach, and we want government to get out of the way. And the only way you can start to understand where we're at is go to our website, read that, and then let us know what your questions are.
Well, I was about to let you go, but I do. We have gotten a couple things over Twitter, and we get these every time Dr. Scott Jensen is on the show. So I apologize for the redundancy, Scott, but, you know, we do get this every time. Can you clarify your position on the Second Amendment?
This is a first. No, I messed up in 2018 by trying to compel a conversation, and it was a klutzy maneuver that didn't work. I wanted to have a broad discussion because we had a Republican House and Senate and Republican Lieutenant Governor, and it ended up being the signs of a rookie. And at the convention on Saturday, I apologized that I undercut the faith and conviction that people might have in my Second Amendment position. I've always been a gun owner. I've been a member of the NRA. I've had the NRA support and the gun owner support in 2016. And I made a mistake by undercutting that. Now, I was clear on that, but I'm an absolute proponent of Second Amendment rights. And I think we do need to pass Stand Your Ground, Castle Doctrine, and constitutional carry, because the world has changed dramatically. And I'm hoping that independents and Democrats also understand that we're not going to get public safety just because we want it. And I think we need to have the individual involved in securing their safety. And it's interesting that if you look at some of the largest cohort groups buying guns today, it is on the liberal side of the spectrum, because people realize the world has changed. Come on, folks, let's get this done and stop bickering.
There you go. Appreciate it. Dr. Scott Jensen, congratulations again on the endorsement. Look forward to having several conversations with you over the course of the campaign, and wish you the best of luck.
Well, thank you, and thank you for the voice you expressed, because you helped make sure that all Minnesotans get a voice out there. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
That's kind of you to say. Thank you.
Let's go and talk with Patricia, who's been holding for a while in Chaska. Thank you so much for holding on. Welcome to Justice and Drew. You're also on with Howard Root.
So, good morning, guys. In response to Howard's take on the people like out there broader in the voter interest versus those that were at the convention, more than half the people in that building were first-time attendees. It represents a lot of, you know, like Suzanne was pointing out, her issue was around the downtown Minneapolis and safety thing. There's a whole lot of us that got more engaged because of we're parents and we're concerned about what's going on in our schools, the lack of quality of the education, and other nonsense that's happening that is not core. We've got a problem where a good part of our students can't read at grade level. We want to get things done at the school board and above, because we feel like people have been just going in the wrong direction. And there's a lot of people in that room. I didn't come in completely undecided. I would say there was a couple of people I was open and two in a couple of races, but like
who were you leaning towards?
Governor, it was Jensen.
Jensen?
I've been following Scott Jensen since he entered the race and declared that he was working in this direction. Had several conversations with him at a couple of different places. Also admire the fact that he actually was a school board member at one point. So he's given a lot of parents a lot of hope and direction and had lots of conversations with them about the things that they can do and they should do. And I think it's been very coaching and mentoring. And I think that quality of him, like someone said earlier, he's got an authenticness to it. I think it's very much valid and true.
All right. Well, Pritchard, thank you so much, Patricia. Appreciate the call.
I really think that's the new populist. You know, the populists were the Tea Party, but the Tea Party's become an establishment, not in a bad way. I don't want to get them guys
it's
upset
got its
at me
own
too.
Sort of establishment right. around it, though, yeah.
But you've got the political establishment, which was the money class and the political, you know, elected class, and then you've got the Tea Party class. And Scott Jensen's was the populist class, and that's exactly this. I don't think they're hard set, but they came there having a new opinion of what we should be doing as Republicans, and that is good.
That is very good. Laura in Eagan, go ahead. Laura, are you with us?
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Go ahead, Laura.
I just wanted to echo what the last caller said. I was first time there, first time being involved in politics. Always been pretty independent, kind of right-leaning, saw what was going on in the schools with crime in our state, the way that, you know, he handled the pandemic. And I went in not sure who I was going to pick. I was interested in Qualls. Interested in Jensen. But honestly, for me, it was when I saw Paul Gazelka get up there and endorse Kendall Qualls. I have nothing against Kendall at all. But I was like, that's the same old, what we've been seeing. Mm. So I, in the end, then started voting for Jensen. So, but at first, I was kind of all over the place.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, look, in my experience, the undecideds are pretty rare. Maybe that's different this time around. Maybe that's part of the change that's been going on within the Republican Party. Maybe that's a very good sign that you had a lot more people than I think you would have in a normal, typical convention year, a typical election year, going into a convention, not quite decided on who they wanted to be. In my experience, that's rare, but, you know. What we're hearing for this time around, maybe not so much.
Yeah, no, and I'm sensing the same vibe. I mean, look, yeah. it's anecdotal because based on the commentary we're having on the show, we're going to be fielding calls from individuals who are going to say, "Hey, it was different for me," than individuals going, "Yeah, you're right. I was decided when I got there." It could be a completely different dynamic this time around, based off of the past, you know, couple of years and what's taking place here in the state, and that could be a really good thing.
Yeah,
I mean, if this is actually true, and there's that many individuals open minded and they're getting involved for the first time, then it could outright be a positive.
Yeah, I mean, this is really eerily reminiscent of the Tea Party birth, because those people were not political.
Yeah.
They came in on economic issues, which
Correct.
Are still there.
Specific
These people
issues.
Came in on new social issues, and that's the lockdown, that's education, that's crime. And those people coming in, they're undecided. They're not locked into a candidate, but they're not undecided on the policies. I mean, they came in with...
They know why they're there.
They're there for a reason, and they want to find the candidate that best expresses that.
Yep.
So I don't consider that undecided, and certainly not many people were voting undecided. Out of 2,000, they had 5 undecided votes. They had a preference, but it wasn't a lock preference.
Lisa in West Lakeland Township. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
I hear you just fine.
I want to give a shout out to all the people that ran for governor. Any one of those would have been a good choice and above and beyond what Walz would do.
I agree.
So, but I'd like to say that I am a first-time delegate from CD 41, and I'd say 10 of our 13 were new first timers.
Wow, that's great.
And and I think we can. Jake at Liberty, he sent out a great email right before we first caucused and explained the whole process. And I think that's why you got a lot of first time people.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Lisa. Appreciate it. We are out of time. I apologize to everybody on hold. We didn't have time to get to you, Sarah, Dan, John, everybody else. Call in tomorrow. We'll talk to you then.
Howard, thanks for coming in, man.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
We're going to see you again real soon as
Let's
well.
Let's keep the weather high. The
Friday.
Friday,
we'll get you round for the round table.
Yes.
All right, Howard Root making his round table return this Friday. That'll be a lot of fun. Tomorrow on the program, we should have Senate Majority Leader Jeremy Miller to talk about that deal that we mentioned earlier, the end-of-session deal that they're working out with Walz and Hordeman. Also, Isaac Orr from Center of the American Experiment will be on with us tomorrow at 8:35.
Enjoy your day. It should be really nice outside today,
Beautiful.
Everybody.
Give me true communication. I don't give me sorrow. I want equal opportunity to live tomorrow.